Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Daled. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the second line from the bottom of Daf Gimel Omid Beis. You will notice a diamond in the Gemara text, and on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei Mivneh heading where we feature the diamond, and we note Ad Daf Dalet Omid Beis Sidra Shel Halochis Al Sukkah Gavoya Michof V'Nomuch Me Asora. It will be a series of halochis that deal with a sukkah that is more than 20 amos tall. In other words, the schach is more than 20 amos from the bottom of the sukkah, which we saw in our Mishnah according to the Rabbanan, that is considered unfit. And likewise, halochas that deal with a sukkah that is less than 10 tfachim, namely the schach is within 10 tfachim of the floor. We noted at the end of our previous shiur, but for those who might be first-time listeners, we forward your attention, we draw your attention to Rashi, the second line from the bottom, Hoiso Gavoa Me'esrim, and Rashi says, Piske Shmuel's Hain, what the Gemara features are a series of established halachas, Shalko B'nei HaYeshiva, Shohoi B'midrosho Shorav Ashi, the Paskin halachas, in the that came forth from the yeshiva of Rav Ashi, who was the editor of the Shas, Shesidroi Bagemora. And Rav Ashi took these halachic decisions and set them up in the Gemara. Rashi, in effect, is doing is what we try to capture with our marking system, where Rashi tells you we have Piskei Shmuel, which in effect is a series of Piskei Halacha, but the concept of a series is what we try to highlight with our markings, our geometric forms. And if you scan ahead and you go till Daf Dalet Amud Beis, you'll notice diamonds appearing, each one introducing a new one of these halachic decisions. So now, as we've been working through from the beginning of the Masechta, we're working with the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations. And we turn our attention to illustration number 32, which you'll find on page 8 of the Pirush Chai. What we see there is a sukkah that is notably very tall, and it's essentially more than 20 amos. However, in an attempt to reduce the height, so the floor is elevated by putting some substance, some material on the floor. In our Gemara, we're going to be dealing with different kinds of materials. So as we continue in the Gemara, we are the second line from the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, Hoiso Gavoa Me'esrim Amo, Ubo Lema'ato Bekorim Uksosis. Sukkah that is built in such a way that the schach is more than 20 amas from the ground, and in order to compensate for that extra height, so the floor is elevated with korum uksosis, with pillows and mattresses. Lo have a miut, the Gemara rules, that is not considered a reduction. And the reason for that is a person isn't going to leave those pillows and mattresses there for 7 days. They'll get ruined if he leaves them there so long. The Afal Gav, the Gemara continues at the top of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Afal Gav de Batlinhu Lekulhu, even if this particular person decides to abandon them there for all 7 days, that is not going to make a difference. Mishum de Batla Daito Eitzel Kol Odom, because his intention is null, is nullified in the face of everyone else's intention. In other words, regular, normal people do not abandon pillows and mattresses on the floor for a period of 7 days. So even though this particular fellow decided to do thusly, that would not be of significance and would not be effective. We continue with the second material that one might put on the floor. And again, you can use the illustration, illustration 32, but instead of having pillows and mattresses there, the Gemara continues, tevin. Tevin is straw and basically serves as animal feed, and it also can be a material for making cement. Tevin. Ubitlo. If he verbally abandons it there on the floor, have mute. That would constitute a reduction. In other words, his verbal abandonment is his declaration that I want it to remain there. I'm not going to take it. And he says so explicitly. That is a reduction of height, and the sukkah will be kosher. The kol shekein ofar ubitlo, and all the more so with dirt that he leaves there. Dirt being considered less significant, and if he leaves dirt at the bottom of the sukkah, a mound which or builds up the bottom in such a way from the top of that elevation to the schach, there's less than 20 amos, the sukkah is kosher. Up to this point, the case of the Korum and Ksosis is something everyone accepts, that it's not considered a bittul, it will be ineffective. The Tevin and Ofar, that one verbally is Mevatel, everyone agrees that that is effective. We move on to a third category, not of material, but of circumstances, and we will see here a controversy. Tevin, the Ein Osid Lefanoso, the Ofar Stam. These are two categories. On the side of the Gemara, you might notice we have a little note that's written in. The first note we've already discussed, the Gimel Chomarim, is three different kinds of materials. Karmuksosis, the pillows and mattresses, is one category. Tevin, a second category, the straw. And the third category, Ofar dirt. We feature also Gimel Madregos. There are three levels of abandonment. There's one is Bitlo Befiv, which we discussed already, a verbal declaration of abandonment. A second category, Ein Osid Lefanoso. Rashi describes that as someone who has no need to remove it there during the week of Sukkot. However, he doesn't abandon it explicitly. And a third category is hinicho stam, a person simply left it there. That would be in this series of levels the weakest level of abandonment. Hinicho stam, he simply left it there. So concerning this, we now plug in the materials mentioned already. And we have the following. Tevin vein osid lefanoso, straw, that he has no intention of removing. The person has no intention. He has no intention. However, he doesn't state explicitly that he's abandoning it there. And the case of ofar stam, dirt, that he left there. And Rashi says, "V'ein yodua im osid lefanoso im lav." It's not known whether he's going to clear it away or not. So these are machlokes Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbanan. This will be a machlokes, a controversy between Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan, how to view this kind of situation. Is it considered an abandonment? Is it considered a reduction? Is it considered left there or not? Now, the source in which Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan have their controversy is not related to Sukkah whatsoever. However, as is often the case in learning the Shas, we have to extract a principle from another source and apply it over here. So we are going to continue with a source that deals with Tumas Oil or Tumas Mace, and also take advantage of illustration 33 in the Pirush Chai. On page 9 at the top, you see a cutaway of a house, and we see a house that's filled with tevin or tsuros, and he leaves it there. Just a word of introduction before we spend time with the illustrations, and that is that if there is an olive quantity of corpse material, kazayas min ames, certainly a whole body, it projects defilement to anyone who overshadows it, anyone who goes above it, even without actual contact, but the fact that you overshadowed. The source that we will read, you can see, says, Bayis Shemilu Tevin Otsuros, a house that there was a mace in the house. There was a corpse there, or a kezayis min hames. And the house was filled with straw or pebbles. Pebbles are the equivalent of dirt, of offar. And he abandoned it there, ubitlo, mivutal. It is considered abandoned. Imagine for a moment that you have a room with a piece of corpse material in there. And there is a second story to the house. Or one is on the roof of the house. The tuma in a standard room with a roof on it will rise to the ceiling and stop there. Hence, someone who's walking on the roof will not be affected by the tuma that is below. That is because we have a situation known as poseach tefach. There's a gap, an airspace of a handbreadth above the corpse material and the ceiling. However, if you create a situation where there is no airspace, there's no halal, as it's called in Hebrew, then the tumah will penetrate the ceiling and go to the roof. So that if you would have, in the case we described, the room with the corpse in it, and that room was, in addition to the corpse in the room, was filled with dirt till the ceiling, or at least within one handbreadth of the ceiling, and someone else was walking on the roof of that house, the person above will become tome. The tuma is bokas the oilo. It penetrates and rises. Let's say the room is filled with material that you don't plan to leave there. Is it considered as if the room is filled or not? That is the tie-in to our Gemara now. So that if you have material that you are abandoning there, it's considered filled, and therefore lacking the handbreadth airspace above that filling and the ceiling, the tumah will penetrate. So far, we saw in the source that the bias that was mishemilu tevin otsurusu bitlo, it's mifuto. And then, in the brackets, the Gemara makes an inference. Bitlo in, lo bitlo lo. Only if there is a formal, verbal abandonment, then it's considered abandoned there, and it's considered a filling, and that would result in the tumah penetrating to the roof. Lo bitlo, if he doesn't have this formal abandonment, it's not considered abandoned there. And therefore, it's considered like the original state where there is the airspace, and the tumah will not penetrate. Even though the room is filled, but it's filled with material that as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, is not considered as if it's abandoned there. It's considered as if it's removed. And therefore, even though it's physically there, the airspace concept remains. V'toni Allah. Now, concerning that, there is another teaching, Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Teven v'ein osid lefanosod, straw that fills the room, and he has no specific intention of removing it. He has no need to remove it. Harehu ka'ofor stam ubotel. It's like leaving dirt there, as we said in the stam, the undefined way. A person simply left it there without our knowing what his plans are. As far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, that is considered an abandonment. Ofor v'osid lefanoso, if he fills the room with dirt and he plans to remove it, harehu kistam teven v'lo botil, then it's like a case of someone leaving straw in, filling the room with straw, in the stam fashion, where we don't know what his plans are. But with regard to straw, we know that if you don't verbally abandon it there, so it's not going to be botel. As far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, you don't really need to have the verbal abandonment, but you have to have a situation where he knows he's not going to remove it. How does all this tie into our case of the sukkah? So, if you go back to number 3, third line from the top, the case of Tevin Vein Osid Lefanoso, V'ofor Stam, how do we view it? Is it considered abandoned or not? Now, in the case of the sukkah, that which is abandoned, is considered abandoned, will be helpful for reducing the height. So, in the case of Tevin, where you don't know what his plans are, and Ofor that's left there, Stam, as far as the Rabbonon are concerned, it would not be effective. It's considered as if it's removed. According to Rabbi Yossi, though, Tevin v'ein osid lefanoso, we saw in the case of the din of Oihalos, the house with the mace in it, it's considered abandoned. So as we think about the Gemara we just had, you notice that we were focusing on two primary materials. That was Tevin and Ofar, and we have a little chart on the side of the Gemara to summarize this sugya. And as far as categories of abandonment, we found in the Gemara four different categories, starting from the case of an actual abandonment to the case of osid lefanoso, where he plans to remove it. And the different boxes are filled in with the different rulings. What we see very quickly is that bitlo bepeh, if you have formal abandonment, a declaration, a verbal declaration, everyone agrees that's effective. As far as, is there any other point at which there is total agreement? So if by looking at the chart, yes, there are. The bottom line where a person knows he is going to remove it, everyone agrees. It's not botel, that's fairly obvious. And there's one more point of agreement, and that's the case of Tevin, that he left there stam, straw that he leaves there without any knowledge of, is he going to remove it or not? Everyone agrees that it's not abandoned, it's not considered abandoned. However, the other categories are subject to controversy, and that's what you see illustrated on the chart. We continue in the Gemara and take advantage of illustration 37. What we see in 37 is a sukkah that's more than 20 amas tall, However, there are branches of the sach that dip down within the 20 amos. Hoisa gavoa me'esrim amo. The sukkah itself is more than 20 amos. However, v'hutzin yordin besoch chof amo. The branches of the sach dangle down within 20 amos. So can we consider the dangling branches as significant vis-a-vis schach, and then the height of the sukkah from the floor till those dangling branches is in fact less than 20 amos. So how do we conclude this? We explain. Im tzilsam meruba mechamosam kshera. If by looking at those branches alone, there's enough of them, enough of the branches that are dangling within the 20 amma mark to create more shade than sun, then it's kosher, then it's acceptable, because those branches that are dangling within on their own fulfill the schach requirement. So it's considered the schach, and hence the sukkah is kosher. The imlav, if it's a rather thin quantity of branches dangling within the 20 amma mark, on their own, incapable of creating more shade than sun, then psula, then the sukkah is not kosher. We look at illustration 38, and we see there a very short sukkah. The sukkah is 10 tefachim. There is a gap from floor till schach of 10 tefachim. However, the hutzin yordin lesoch asora. There are branches that are dangling down within the 10 tefach mark. Sovar, Abai, now we dashed on line Sovar to draw your attention to this being a first thought, an initial thought, however, it won't remain. Sovar Abaye Lamemar. Abai wanted to apply the same type of analysis to the previous case, the too tall sukkah, and he wanted to say, Im Chamoson Meruba Mitzilsam, if the branches that are within the 10 tefachim are of a thin nature, whereby the amount of sun is greater than the amount of shade that they produce, so they'd be considered insignificant and kshera, and the sukkah would be kosher. Omar le Rava. Rava says, I have news for you. In the case of the two short sukkah, there's a new factor that determines the analysis that's irrelevant to the issue of shade versus sunlight. Ha dira sruchahi. This is a dwelling that is srucha. Literally means it's something that's sour or that's disgusting. But it means that it's, in order to get into it, you'd have to basically crawl on your belly, because the branches would be interfering with your entrance, being that they're dangling to a height of within 10 tefachim of the ground. So even if there's a thin covering of those dangling branches, they ruin the domicile. They ruin the sukkah from being a dwelling. The ein odom dor bedira srucha. A person doesn't dwell in such a dwelling. And therefore, regardless of the thickness level of the dangling branches, the sukkah is unfit. The minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim, and in this case, he doesn't have 10 tefachim of dwelling space, because the branches are dangling within the 10 tefachim. As we go on in the Gemara, you have the option of using the Pirush Chai diagram, picture 39, or you can use the diagram in the Gemara itself, but recognizing that the diagram in the Gemara, the two diagrams that appear in the Gemara text, are aerial views. But the Pirush Chai has a very nice diagram, 39. What do we see there? We see, again, a situation of a too tall sukkah. However, there's a platform that's built parallel to the back wall of the sukkah, with two side walls joining. So you have three walls surrounding that platform. And from the top of the platform till the schach, you have less than 20 amos. Hoysa gavoa me'esrim amo. We're reading the Gemara. This is the fourth case. The sukkah was a two-tall sukkah, v'ubonobo itztaba. However, there was a platform that was built, an itztaba is a platform built in that sukkah. So now, things depend on where the platform is located. Keneged doifen ha'emtsoi, if it's built parallel to the middle wall, in this case the back wall, the middle wall of this three-sided sukkah, al pene kula, and runs parallel to the entire back wall. That means, being that it runs entirely in the entire length of the back wall, that means it will also benefit by being attached to the side walls. V'yesh bo hechshu sukkah, and the surface of the platform measures a minimum of 7 by 7 tvachim, kshera. The sukkah is kosher. And when we say the sukkah is kosher, we should point out the entire sukkah is kosher, even the section of the sukkah that's not on the platform. And that's based on a concept known as psal ha-yotzi min ha-sukkah, that when you have a basic sukkah that's kosher, the rest of the sukkah is considered an extension of that, and it's also kosher. Another case, though, is umin hatzad. Illustration 40 shows what this would be. It depends. Now, without any analysis, the platform built min hatzad has, in effect, two walls around it. Now, two walls are not kosher for a sukkah. Is there any way that we can somehow have the third wall that's not adjacent to the platform be considered part of the platform as well? So it depends on a distance factor. Im yesh misfas itztaba l'kosel dalet amos, psula. If the distance between the edge of the platform and the wall that's opposite it is 4 amos, then the sukkah is not acceptable. It's not kosher. Pachos me'arba amos kshera. If the distance between the edge of the platform and the opposite wall is less than 4 amos, then the sukkah is kosher. And the reason for that is there's a principle based on what we call halacha lemoshe misinai, an oral tradition that's known as doifen akuma, literally the bent wall. If we look at the Rashi, you can see Rashi is on under the Tosfos text in the widest lines toward the bottom part of the page, the second of the widest lines, Pachos midalat amos kshera. The Rashi says, Sha'af hu huchshar al yada. The platform and the sukkah are made kosher through that third wall that's within 4 amos of the edge of the platform. De kaimulan alochel moshe misina, we have an oral tradition, de machshri sukkah ayade akimas doifen ad arba amos choser mashu, as long as the wall is within 4 amos, it is considered attached, or it benefits the platform, hence the sukkah becomes kosher. V'royin schach ha'elyon ha'mechuber l'doifen arochoik ki'ilu hu min ha'doifen atzmo, and we look at the schach that's attached to that far wall, all of the schach that's attached to the far wall up till the edge of the platform, over the edge of the platform, kilu hu min hadoifen atzmoi. The schach becomes part of the wall in your mind's eye. The okum, and the wall is bent, ad keneged svas ha'itztaba, till the edge of the platform. V'kan moididim is goifon misvaso itzabo lamala, and at that point you measure the height from the top, from the surface of the platform till the schach. V'af al pi shemitachtov nimshach klape chutz hoyul v'rosho eina kola ad al kain zehu goyva chalola v'arei nismayit chalola mitachtov. Now that's illustrated in 41. You could see at the top of that picture the arrow aleph where the wall is set to continue till the over the edge of the platform. Now, in actuality, what is there at the top is schach, but it's illustrated as if it's considered as if it's a wall material continuing till the edge of the platform, to above the edge of the platform. This, as we said, is based on an oral tradition. It's called halachal Moshe Misinai, and it's not. It works as is. Let us turn back to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, "My komash malon, what is the chidush? What is being revealed here in this last point? The amrinon doifen akuma, that we apply the principle of the bent wall. Tanina, we've learned that already. There's another source that deals with that. There's a Tanaic source that deals with that. Illustration 44." That at the top of page 11 of Pirush Chai, what do we see? We see a house, that a hole developed in the roof of this house, and he covered the hole with schach. Is the interior considered a sukkah? So it depends. If from the edge of the schach till the wall there is less than 4 amos, then the house, as is illustrated there, is acceptable, is kosher. And that's a Tanaic source, so it predates this diamond number 4. So our question is, what do I need the teaching here in diamond number 4, part 2, when if all the purposes is to teach me the principle of Doifen Akuma? We've learned this in an earlier Tanaic source. And let's read it now in the text. Bayis shenivchas v'sikech al gabo, a house whose ceiling caved in, and he covered the opening with schach. Im yesh min hakosev lasichu dal amos psula, if from the wall till the actual schach there is 4 amos, it's unfit to serve as a sukkah. Ha pochos mikan shera, but if it's less than 4 amos, it's kosher. So there you've got an illustration of doifen akuma. What do I need this case for number 2? 4-2. The Gemara answers, Mahu detema, in the case of the bayis shenivchas, hosam hu dechazi ledoifen, there the walls were of a reasonable height, namely they were less than 20 amas tall. So where the wall is kosher for sukkah purposes, then I understand you apply the concept of doifen akuma. In other words, we're not involved in making a wall of legal height. Aval hocha, but in the in illustration 41, the lochazi ledoifen, the wall there in and of itself is not fit to serve as a sukkah wall because it's more than 20 amas tall. Aim or low. So I would have thought that you can't apply the principle of doifen akuma when the basic wall you're working with is beyond the legal height. Komash malon, the chidush is that even though it is beyond the legal height, we allow the rule of doifen akuma to operate, enabling the wall to connect with the edge of the platform, and that from that point till the ceiling, it in fact is now, it's less than 20 amos. So the chiddush is once again, in picture 44, it was easier for us to imagine doifen akuma operating because you were starting off with a legally acceptable wall. In illustration 41, you were starting with a wall that's not legally fit for a sukkah. And yet, we say that the principle of doifen akuma will operate. We continue. Let me just read that last phrase again. Aval hocha de lo chazi ledofen emo lo. I would have thought it doesn't work. Komash malon, diamond 4, case number 2, tells us it works. We continue, illustration 45. Now, what do we see in this illustration? we see a too tall sukkah, and in the on the floor of the sukkah there's a platform. If you measure from the top of the platform till the schach, there is less than 20 amos. It's also noted that there's a distance that we're going to want to focus on from the edge of the platform to the walls that are surrounding it. So now we look in the Gemara. Hoisuk vo me asrim amo ubono itzdabo beemtze osa. The basic sukkah from floor till schach was more than 20 amos, and platform was constructed in the middle of the sukkah. Im yesh misfas itzdabo v'ledoifin arba amos l'chol ruach v'ruach psula. If from the edge of the platform till the wall in all directions is 4 amos, it's unfit. The sukkah is not effective. It's not kosher. Pachos me arba amos kshera. If from the edge of the platform positioned in the middle of the sukkah till the walls opposite the platform is the distance is less than 4 amos, the sukkah is kosher. My komash molon. What is the point of this new ruling? Diamrino doifen akuma, that we apply the rule of doifen akuma. Once again, in order for this sukkah to be kosher, we have to say that which we saw in illustration 41 is happening here in illustration 45. That if the gap between the edge of the platform and the wall is less than 4 amos, so we say that the wall continues till over the edge of the platform in all the directions, and the platform has the benefit of being surrounded by 3 walls. Well, hainu hach, that's the same as we saw before. Why then repeat the same din? Why repeat the same ruling? The Gemara answers, there's a difference. Mal detema, without featuring diamond number 5, I would have thought, doifen akuma miruach achas amrinon avolo kol ruach v'ruach avol kol ruach v'ruach loy. Doifen akuma will enable me to benefit, like as we say, one per customer, meaning one wall we can say Dofen Akuma will help us with. However, to say that Dofen Akuma will help us with all 3 walls, I wouldn't have known that had I not taught case number 5. Komash Malon, hence we teach case number 5 with the platform built in the middle of the sukkah, and in order for this to be kosher, you'll have to apply Dofen Akuma l'chol ruach ruach on all the sides. Illustration 46. In 46, you see a short sukkah, where from the basic floor, before we look at the ditch, the floor till the height of the schach is less than 10 tfachim. In the illustration, you see he dug out a ditch, or a pit. From the bottom of the pit till the schach, there is 10 tfachim. What is the story with regard to the sukkah? The Gemara. Hoysa p'chusa me'asora tfachim. The basic sukkah was less than 10 tfachim. V'chokak bo kedei la'ashlimo la'asora. And he dug out. Chokak is to dig out a pit from the bottom of which till the schach would be 10 tfachim. So we evaluate. Im yesh misfas chakak. If from the edge of the ditch that he dug out till the wall you have 3 tefachim. Now this is a new distance that we didn't see in the last cases. This is a much smaller distance. If the wall is within 3 tefachim, is 3 tefachim away, it's 3 hand breaths away from the edge of the ditch, psula, it's unfit. Continuing at the top of Amud Beis, Pachos Mishloisha Tfachim Kshera. If the distance between the edge of the ditch and the wall is within 3 Tfachim, then the sukkah is kosher. This idea, or this measure of within 3 Tfachim, has a name. It's called Lovud. Lovud, for our purposes, means attached. So that the wall if it's within three tefachim of the ditch, it's considered attached to the edge of the ditch, and hence the sukkah is measured using the ditch's dimensions. 10 tefachim you've got from the ditch floor till the schach. The Gemara asks, what we hinted to just a moment before, why, in the case of the two tall sukkah, we allowed you up till 4 amos distance, and as long as the wall was within 4 amos, the sukkah, the wall is considered attached to the platform, and the sukkah was kosher. And why here do we have such a rigid, restrictive standard where we say only if it's within three hand breaths will the sukkah be kosher? The Gemara answers. Hasam diise ladoifen. There in the two tall sukkah, as far as a wall is concerned, and we didn't say this before, but in many areas of halacha where a wall is required, the understanding is that a doifen measures a minimum of 10 tefachim. Now, if you've got a wall that's more than 20 amas tall, as far as a doifen is concerned, as far as a wall, it has the dimensions of a wall, just as far as sukkah, it's too tall. But there is a wall there. There's a legal entity, a legal wall entity. So where you've got the wall there, pochos me'arba amos sagya, it's enough that the wall is within 4 amos of what we need. In that case, it was the platform. Hocha, however, here, l'shavya l'doifen, here in the two short sukkah, you don't have a wall until you dig out the ditch. You don't have a statistic of a wall. Here our interest is in making a wall. And now how is the wall made? It's by having a height of 10 tefachim. Well, where do you see the 10 tefachim? Well, that's from the ditch. So here where we're interested in making a wall, pachos mishloisha tefachim, only if it's within 3 tefachim of the edge of the ditch, will it be considered effective. Elo, if it's not within 3 tefachim, it's not considered attached to the edge of the ditch, and hence, lo, it's not going to be kosher. So just to review the last point, there's a fundamental difference when you're trying to attach, or when you're trying to attach an existing wall, then our standard can be much more flexible. However, we're involved with making a wall. Making wall is a legal, in legal terms, making a legal wall. There, you have a much smaller area of flexibility. It's got to be within 3 tefachim. As we continue in the Gemara, we take advantage of illustration 57. What do we see in this illustration? At first glance, it would seem that it's similar to that which we just discussed, or which we recently discussed, a platform in the middle of a sukkah. However, here, the platform is more than 4 amos from any of the walls. So as far as the platform being considered from the top of the platform to the schach, in fact, there's less. Then you'll have less than 20 amos. But where are the walls? As we said, starting at the starting gate, we're telling you they're the walls that the pre-existing walls are too far to begin with. So the Gemara, hoiso gavoa me'esrim amo, again a too tall sukkah. Ubona ba amud, and a platform was built. Shu gavoa asora tefachim. The platform itself has a height of 10 tefachim. V'yesh bo hechshir sukkah, and the surface measures 7 by 7 tefachim. And as we pointed out, this platform is at a distance greater than, it's four amos or more from the existing walls. Sovar Abaye Lememar. Again, Sovar, we highlight, this is an initial thought, but it's not going to last. Abaye thinks to say, Sovar Abaye Lememar, Abaye thinks to say, Gud Asik Mechitzta. Again, we're introduced to another halacha lemoshe misina. It's an axiomatic principle, and the principle says gud is a wall, asik, it rises to form a machitza. Now, there's an illustration of what Abaye is trying to say in 57, the area above the platform, you see it's shaded, it's a bit shaded, that's the imaginary walls rising from the sides of that platform. Now, without this imagery, you just have a basic platform there. It's a block or a bunch of rocks that are put together, a solid mass of building material creating the platform. Abaye says you can imagine, though, through this halacha l'moshe Sinai, the rising wall, so that the walls that are formed to make this platform, and hence the sukkah, kosher sukkah, is based on good asik mechitzta. Omar le Rava. Rava says, bo'inon mechitzas hanikoros v'leka. In order for good asik mechitzta to operate, you've got to have a starting point of pre-existing walls. In other words, once I've got a real wall to begin with, then in your mind's eye, you can imagine the wall extending upwards. Here, though, you're dealing with a solid, we should maybe preface our remarks by saying that a wall is that which surrounds a space, a halal. A room has walls, a house has walls, because contained therein is a space, even a pit has walls. You dug out a pit, the pit has walls because they surround a space. A rock platform doesn't have walls, it's just a solid mass of rock. It doesn't have mechitzos hanikoros. It doesn't have recognizable walls as you're at the starting point. Hence, good asik mechitzta is not an option over here. So it wouldn't be an effective sukkah because you may have reduced the height, but you don't have any walls for anyone who's on top of that platform. As you can see, marking wise, we just finished the series of the Piske Halachas that began at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, and we continue with a new topic. On the side, we have the Nosei, the topic heading, Noatz Dalid Kundesin, a person wedged in four poles, Kundesin poles, Vesikach al Gabehen, or Vesichech al Gabehen, and he placed Schach over them. The positioning of the poles will be of significance as the Gemara continues, hence we noted you have poles al Hagag, that's what we call Aleph. Poles on a rooftop, and shortly we'll look at some illustrations. And if we just skip two lines there in our note, then Beis is Al-Horetz, four poles implanted on the ground. Now with regard to a rooftop, you're going to have the four poles positioned at the corners or the edges of the roof, or Be'emtza, in the middle of the roof. Now before we learn the Gemara, so let's look at some of the illustrations. We're going to be looking at 58 and 59. So at the bottom of page 13, we have four poles that are wedged. Now those right angles are designed to give us a feeling that you can, if you carved out the poles, there is a minimum dimension that would leave you with right angles measuring one tefach by one tefach. So that's 58, four poles. Now, if we look at 59, we then see schach placed above the poles. And in illustration 60, we see poles that are placed at the edge of the roof. and it's 61 poles placed in the middle, not at the edge of the roof. In 62, you can see what we mentioned a moment ago, the idea of having a round pole and the ability to carve away, forming, in your mind's eye, because what we're interested in is establishing a minimum dimension. And that minimum dimension must be a tefach by a tefach. Now we turn to the Gemara. Tana Ravonan, Noatz Arboa Kundesin, V'sikech al Gabon. He, Noatz, is to wedge in four poles, and he placed schach over them. Rabbi Yankiv Machshir v'Chachomim Posel. Rabbi Yankiv rules that it's a kosher sukkah, and the Chachomim say it's unfit. And of course, everyone's wondering, well, where are the walls? Well, let's continue in the Gemara. We have used a double underline marking, and on the side under the Mivneh, you'll notice we indicate this highlights Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Omar Rav Huna. We continue in the Gemara. The illustration that's relevant to this is illustration 60. Machloikes al Sfas Hagag. The Taneh controversy with Rav Yankiv, who says it's kosher and the Chum says it's posel, is in a case where the poles are on the at the edge, placed at the edge of the roof. The Rabbi Yankiv Sover Amrina Gud Asik Mechitzta. Rabbi Yankiv says it's a kosher sukkah because we allow for the rising wall. The walls of the house rise, forming an imaginary enclosure of the sukkah. And Rabbanan Sabri Lo Amrina Gud Asik Mechitzta. Rabbanan say we don't apply the principle of Gud Asik Mechitzta. Avol the Emsa Hagag, illustration 61, if the poles are placed in the middle of the roof, Divri Hakol Psula, everyone will agree, meaning even Rabbi Yankiv will concede to the Rabbanon that it is not kosher. Let's glance at the Rashi across from here. Machloikis al Sfas Hagag, the Mechitzas Habayas Tachteha, the walls of the house underneath, Keneged Bein Hakundesim, the walls of the house are under, in effect, the area between the poles, V'iko Lemeima Gud Asik, and there is room to suggest the rising wall, V'hocha Lo Aminon Deboinon Mechitzas Nikos. Here, we don't deal with the issue of recognizable walls. It would appear because you have recognizable walls, the walls of the house serving as walls rise. Rashi continues, Avo be'emtz hagag she'en tachteo mechitzos saviv, in the case of the poles in the middle of the roof, well, underneath the poles or the spaces between the poles, you don't have walls. So divrei kol psula, everyone agrees it's unfit. Even Rabbi Yankiv agrees it would be unfit according to Rav Huna. V'lo dayo b'arboas hakundesim li'oslo shame arba mechitzas, and the existence of the poles, even though, as we said before, the poles have a dimension to them. They're not broomsticks. They're poles that have that measure a potential of a tefach by a tefach. But that's not enough to create the imagery of four walls. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rav Nachman Omar. Rav Nachman, you'll see, is more lenient. He says, "Be'emtzah hagag machlokes." Poles in the middle of the sukkah are the subject of the Tanaic controversy. Namely, even though the poles are in the middle of, not, I said middle of the sukkah, but middle of the roof, Rav Yankiv will say it's kosher. So Rav Nachman says, the machlokes in the source above is a case where the poles are in the middle of the roof. Now, everyone is wondering, well, what would Rav Nachman say then what is to be said about a case of poles at the edges of the roof? Ibaya Laho, and the Gemara asks this, and this is a question with the Aleph O Dilma Bay structure, the two sides. The first side of the question is Be'emtza Hagag Machlokes. It could be that what Rav Nachman is telling us is that in the middle of the roof you have the Machlokes, Aval al Sfas Hagag Divrei HaKol Kshera. And we would infer, though, that at the edge of the roof everyone would agree, even the Chachamim would agree, that it is kosher. Oy Dilma, Bain bazu ubain bazu machlokis. Or it could be, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, that in the middle of the roof is a machlokis, and at the edges of the roof there is also a machlokis. By the way, in the case of Emtsagag Machlokis, where we said that Rabbi Yankiv says it's kosher, the question then was, well, where are the mechitzos? It's not the mechitzos of the house that are rising, because the poles are positioned further in from the walls of the house. So it is, as we mentioned before, the poles themselves have the potential of carving out a tefach by a tefach, representative of, we'll say, the beginning of walls. Well, the question right now is, what are we to conclude, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, what are we to conclude regarding the case of the poles at the edge of the roof, and what would the Tanoim, Rav Yankiv, and the Chachamim say about that? To be more focused, as far as Rav Yankiv is concerned, if you're telling me that in the middle of the roof it's going to be kosher, then certainly at the edge of the roof it's kosher. The question is, what would the Chachamim hold? The Chachamim granted, in the middle of the roof, the poles are ineffective in creating a sukkah, but what about if they were at the edge of the roof? So the Gemara says, Teku, this remains unresolved. So as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, he presents what the circumstances of controversy are, namely in the middle of the roof there is the Tanaic controversy. As far as what would those Tanoim hold with regard to poles at the edge of the roof, that remains unknown. And as we said before, I know we're sounding a little repetitious, but when we say what remains unknown, it remains unknown what the Chachomim's opinion would be. Now, marking-wise, we see triangles, and on the side of the Gemara, they're explained as Kushos al Rav Huna. These are questions posed against Rav Huna, and we'll try to make that clear as we go on. The source says, Noatz Dalid Kundesin Ba'aretz, a person wedged in four poles on the floor, on the ground, V'sikach al gabon, and covered them with schach. Rabbi Yankiv machshir v'chachomim poslin. Rabbi Yankiv says it's kosher. V'ha oretz de ke'emtza hagag domi. Placing poles on open ground is no different than poles in the middle of a roof. In other words, just like in the middle of the roof, you don't have any exterior walls to benefit your case. So too in the middle of the ground. So that the case of this Tanaic source which speaks about four poles on the floor, on the ground, four poles wedged into the ground, is the same thing as four poles in the middle of the roof. What did Rav Huna say about middle of the roof? If you look back, you have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You align that with the star above. You can see the case of middle, Emtagag, Rav Huna told us all Tanoim hold its puzzle. Here we have the equivalent of Emtahagag, and not all Tanoim are saying its puzzle. Rabbi Yankiv says it's kosher. So let's read that in the Gemara again. V'ha oretz v'kemtahagag domi v'kom machshir Rabbi Yankiv. Rabbi Yankiv says it's kosher. T'yufta de Rav Huna, should this be a refutation of Rav Huna? T'yufta, yes. This is a refutation because Rav Huna said that in the case of Emtza Hagag, everyone agrees it's unfit, and here we see otherwise. The Gemara continues. The Ode. Why not say the Emtza Hu de Pligi, that the controversy, as we see in this Tanaic source, and as we applied this source to the case of the roof, then we came out saying that in the middle is where you have a machlokes. Aval al sfas hagag divrei hakol kshera. Why not infer thusly that if the poles were at the edge of the roof, everyone would agree it's kosher, even the rabbanon would agree it's kosher. And let us ask, what did Rav Huna say about Sfas Hagag? Use the arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and align it with the squiggled arrow above. What did Rav Huna say about Sfas Hagag? Rav Huna said that it was a machloikes. What do we see here in the inference about Sfas Hagag? You see, Divrei HaKol. Notice how we dashed underline above the word machlokas, and here we dashed on the Divrei HaKol. Everyone agrees ksheira. And Rav Huna had said that Sfas HaGag is a machlokas. So Lema Teve Tufte de Rav Huna Betarti. Should we say that through this now we've repudiated Rav Huna on both points? Namely, as far as Rav Huna's position on Emtza HaGag, we showed already that Rav Huna is not to be accepted. And as far as edge of roof, let us say that that which Rav Huna said is also not to be accepted. Omar loch Rav Huna. Rav Huna responds, Pligi be'emtza HaGag, I concede that Be'emtza HaGag is a machlokas that I can't deny because we have a Tanaic source. However, the Huadin al Sfas HaGag. But I'm going to tell you that the machlokas will continue even when the poles are at the edge of the roof as well. And the Chomum say that even though they're at the edge of the roof, the Sukkah is not kosher. V'hai dekomifli Be'emtza HaGag, the fact that the machlokas is presented Ba'aretz, or which is the equivalent of the middle of the roof, lo'diach ha'kecha de Rabbi Yankiv, to show us how far Rabbi Yankiv goes in his leniency. De'afilu be'emtza HaGag nami machshir, that even in the middle of the roof, Rabbi Yankiv is willing to be machshir. But just to repeat this last point, but as far as Rav Huna is concerned, that's all fine and good with Rav Yankiv. He's machshir not only edge of roof, but in the middle of roof as well. However, the Chachamim will tell you that in the middle of the roof it's not kosher, and at the edge of roof it's also not kosher. Hence, regarding Sfas HaGag, there is a machlokes. And that's what Rav Huna originally said. So, as far as Rav Huna's position is concerned regarding the Emtza HaGag, the middle of the roof, so we showed how that was a weak position. Tonu Rabbanan. We continue with a source that mentions again the four poles and they're being covered with schach. And another point will be mentioned in this source, a term called dumed. So before we learn the source, let's just familiarize ourselves with this concept, dumed. The word dumed is a contraction of two words. Du is two, like the word, like the expression duo, and med is omud, the mem dalid representing a beam or a pole. There's an illustration on the top of page 15 of a pit with four right angle boards surrounding the pit. The four right angle boards, they, in the case of the pit, they happen to measure, it's called passe biros, they happen to measure an amo by an amo. We, up till now, have been discussing poles for the sukkah, a tefach by a tefach, but not, don't let that be a point of confusion. They're two separate areas of halacha, but the halacha of Moshe Sinai tells us that that arrangement, the pit arrangement, if you imagine a pit lying in the middle of a public thoroughfare, the pit is filled with water, and people that used to come on the thrice-year pilgrimages to Jerusalem, the Olei Regolim, would need to draw water from the pit for their water purposes, their needs, drinking water, animals would drink. They would have to draw water from the pit, but if the surface of the pit, the surface, the ground around the pit is a public thoroughfare, the pit itself having the dimensions of a private domain, you wouldn't be able to draw the water from the pit, which is a Rishus HaYochid, to the surface, which is a Rishus HaRabim. So the oral tradition tells us that these right angle boards constitute an enclosure, even though the gap between each right angle and the next one is a rather large opening. Nevertheless, this is an effective enclosure, and that's called a dumed. That's by way of background. We turn to the Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan, Noatz Arba Kundesin Boretz, Vesika Chagabon. Person wedged four poles in the ground and covered them with schach. Rabbi Yankiv Oimer, Royin, we evaluate. And here we take advantage of diagram 62. We looked at this already. We evaluate. Kol she'ilu yechakaku v'yechalku. Any situation, pole-wise, dimension-wise, that you can carve out and divide the yesh bo tefach lekan v'tefach lekan, and you would be left with a right angle measuring a tefach in each direction, then nidoinin mishum diomid, it will take on the status of a diomid. And we already gave background diomid in the case of the pit, the pasi biros, and in the case of the sukkah, it will function then as it will function as walls. V'im lav, and if it doesn't have this minimum dimension, ein nidonin mishum diomed, then it won't have the diomed status. And of course we need the diomed status in order to form our walls for the sukkah that are under the schach. Shehoy Rabbi Yankiv Oimer, Diom de Sukkah Tefach. Rabbi Yankiv used to say that the diomed concept with regard to sukkah is a tefach, meaning a tefach by a tefach. The Chachomim Omrim, Rachamim don't accept this, and that's the reason that they said that the schach covering over four poles isn't a kosher sukkah. Ad shu shtayim kilchosen ushlishis afilu tefach. Until you have two full walls. Kilchosen means complete. Now complete would mean seven hand breadths. They measure the width of each wall would be seven hand breadths. And the third wall, that a sukkah has a requirement of three walls, the shlishis afilu tefach, the rabbanon will allow the third wall of the sukkah to be even one hand breadth. But in addition to that, you have to have two regular walls, and the third wall, granted that, we have a leniency based on another halacha lemoshe misinai and droshes and psukim that enable us to have it reduced to a mere tefach. The Gemara that continues is a very long sugya, and it lasts till daf vav omid beis. Hence, this would be a convenient pausing point, even though we have a few more lines left to this omid. But before we actually conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.